Okay, so that's that particular question. We now move to a different type of question, the one on atomic spectroscopy. Now, atomic spectroscopy then has got both emission and absorption variants. The first one, atomic emission, relies on the fact that you take an atom, you put it into an excited state. So in terms of the flame ionization, your atom then is put into a very hot flame. It's an acetylene air flame. The heat of the flame then pushes the electrons into excited state orbitals, higher orbitals than normal. As the atom then gets into a cooler part of the flame, the electrons drop back down, eventually to the ground state, and we release wavelengths of light. Those wavelengths of light then are selected via a monochromator, fed through to a detector, and we get a signal. So that's atomic emission. The other technique, slightly more complicated, atomic absorption spectroscopy. You shine a light source through your flame. You then put the atoms of interest, or analyte, into the flame, and we then measure the absorption of that signal, which we're scanning through the flame. This one was a technique, as I told you, they use in the lab in town because it's then a trace level thing for relatively high concentrations of material. We're now relying on going from the ground state to the excited state, and we're using the light source to push the atom into that state. So the function of the flame in this case is simply to atomize the material rather than to put it into the excited state. Now, the reason that flame AA is more common than flame emission is that the temperature of the flame is relatively cool. So by relatively cool, we're talking 2,500 Kelvin is a relatively cool flame. That relatively cool flame then is sufficient to do atomization at high efficiency for most particular analytes that we put in. But it's not sufficiently hot to fully excite most atoms. And as a result, as we'll see, we've got other techniques that are much better when we want to use emission techniques. Okay, now just going over how this works at sort of nuts and bolt level. Here we've got our nucleus, the orbits around it, so we're sort of using a Bohr model of our electronic structure of the atom. These orbits then are going out in terms of our increase in the principal quantum number n. So when the electron's sitting as close as possible, it's in its ground state. When it's sitting out here somewhere, it's in an excited state. So we take our atom then, and we then put it into an excited state, either by shining light on the atom or by putting it into a really hot part of the flame. When the electron sitting in one of these outer orbitals drops back down to one of the inner orbitals, it emits a characteristic wavelength of light. So over here we've got the spectrum for hydrogen, and as you can see there are characteristic distinct wavelengths where hydrogen then emits light or absorbs light. Okay, so it does both at exactly the same wavelength. Here you've got a gas discharge tube containing your hydrogen. The wavelengths of light then are fed through a prism. You split out exactly which wavelengths of light then are being emitted from those hydrogens in their excited state. Now conversely, what this method here is doing is saying, well, those exactly the same energy gaps, okay, between, for instance, the ground state orbital and these orbitals up here. So if we start here and we shine light of the correct wavelength onto the atom, then we push that electron from the innermost orbital to this orbital here. That would be an absorption technique. The emission technique would be saying you put the electrons in this position here because you put in such a hot part of the flame, or you shine light of the right wavelength on it, and then the light is released as the electron drops back down to that. So everybody cool with that? The emission and the absorption, they're both exactly the same wavelength.